All right, this is the Girl Power Podcast, and it is episode 9. And I'm honored to have with me on the podcast Jill White Huffman. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Well, thanks for coming in. Now, you are a licensed therapist.
I am.
And are you? What's your specialty, or do you general therapy, or do you? Do you specialize in anything?
Okay, so my specialty is couples. I mean, I do work with individuals as well, but usually couples issues, which is always kind of interesting because when you're going through this curriculum or this study and counseling, sometimes it's more about finding your niche. And so you just kind of get out there and, and whatever gravitates towards you. And so it tends to be that couples, and I have done some extensive studies. And I have done some extensive study as a marriage family therapist.
Okay.
Couples is what I focus on, and then individuals who are struggling with stress, anxiety, some adjustment issues.
Okay. So, you know, I don't know the proper way to say this, but, you know, in the Black community, you know, we've always been, you know, against therapy.
Exactly.
And, you know, prayer, you know, but therapy.
Exactly.
You know, so what would you say to people who have that, you know, who think that way?
And so what I would say, and I see a lot of those individuals who have been brought up in church, so maybe their parents have been really active, or maybe pastors or ministers, and then they come in and they say, you know, I do pray. I pray a lot, but it doesn't seem to really help. I mean, it helps, you know, with that higher piece of just kind of being connected and that trust and faith. But it's like there's some deep-rooted, seated problems that I don't seem to be able to touch. Mm-hmm. And it tends to, I get stuck in areas. Mm-hmm. So whether it's relationship, whether it's just other interpersonal things that's going on, or just day-to-day things. And so it's like, how do I get beyond that? And so, yeah, there is a stigma. And so, and a lot of it just has to do with how we're taught and how we're reared. It has to do with, you know, that foundational piece of like what goes on in the home stays in the home. We don't tell our business.
Right.
We don't. And so sometimes people tend to think if they share things, you know, they're telling the business and they're letting out secrets. But so there is that stigma. And some of it is just the lack of awareness for you know, our parents or the older population that have been teaching us those things. So it's just more of them not being aware how effective counseling can be. It's totally different.
Right.
You know, we're trained and we're, and it's mainly about teaching skills that are, that's been researched over a period of time and that has been tried. So we know that they work, and that's how we kind of approached this, this topic as it relates to counseling. So yeah, in the Black community, it's more about, you know, what goes on at home stays home. And so we just got to reach out and be a little bit more proactive ourselves.
Okay. And I think there's also the stigma that if you go to get therapy, you must be kind of crazy or whatever.
Exactly.
But, you know, it's perfectly, actually, it's healthy.
It is.
To seek out someone just to talk to about what's going on in your everyday life, right?
It is. And a lot of reasons why is because sometimes if we tell some of our deeper secrets, people may have a tendency to judge. So, you know, and they may be going through some things themselves.
Right.
But
so
it,
you can't
almost
just talk to your friend about
it. No, sometimes you can.
Yeah.
And sometimes you don't want to because you don't want, you know, you're not, you don't want to expose this information. So it's a really safe place that you can come in and you can talk and you can vent and not feel judged.
Right.
And so, so that's, you know, a huge benefit to coming in. And sometimes, you know, being able to talk it through.
Yes.
And that's what therapy is about. It's not about, even though I said we use evidence-based approaches, that's more for just teaching you skills and giving you other ways to think. But a lot of times, just talking it through, you almost sometimes already know kind of what you need to do about a situation. But there's something about being able to talk through it, mm-hmm. and being able to talk through it for several times, because you know, I always tell people when they come in, I say, you know, when you come that one or two times, mm-hmm. you know, you may go home and you may feel like, oh, therapy doesn't work, it's not effective, my problem has not been solved, mm-hmm. but there's something about being able to come and hear yourself talk, get some new skills, mm-hmm. and then just being able to implement it. So it's just like you kind of got into that rut and it took a long time. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it takes a while to get through it.
Yeah, understandably, yeah. understandably. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, when you see what's going on in the world today.
Yes, definitely.
A whole lot of people could probably benefit from therapy. And you don't know if had they gone to therapy or if they've seeked out some type of help, that, you know, some of the tragedies that have happened could have been avoided.
Could have been avoided because, again, it's just more about that lack of awareness and then knowing that there are other possibilities.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Wow. Wow. So you do all different types of counseling.
What? I do. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, again, mostly couples is what I work with. And so even when I'm working with couples, because just like you mentioned, a lot of the issues that couples have, it's from deep rooted seated issues, so it's a lot, it has to do with their experiences,
from their childhood
and just some of the experiences that they're having, you know, kind of ongoing, mm-hmm. repeating some of the cycles,
yes.
and so working with couples, so I'll tend to not just work with the couple, but I also work with them as individuals,
okay.
and helping them to kind of work with themselves, because a lot mm-hmm. of times too, things get really enmeshed when people become a couple. Like, you know, it's kind of like you do have those issues and those concerns mm-hmm. as a couple, but there's also those individual pieces.
Right.
So I definitely work through those. And then just working with individuals mm-hmm. to help them to be a lot more confident or comfortable to even think that they can even have a relationship.
Right,
so, yeah.
Right. So what is the difference between being a therapist and a life coach? Is there a lot of difference?
Well, I mean, I don't know, because I've never really kind of looked at what their you know, what their criteria is in terms of life coach.
Okay.
So I've been, I have so many things going on, but it's like and I don't know if you know, but I'm also a licensed massage and body work therapist,
okay.
and I do
okay.
a lot of seminars as well.
Oh, okay.
So between everything that I have going on, I've not really looked at that curriculum, you know, to what it takes to be a life coach, but you know, it's definitely with therapy, I can say that we do have a lot of extensive education and,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and we get a lot of practice and, you know,
right.
even in our, so it's not just the educational piece, but you also have to do, you know, you have to work under supervision for 3,000 hours.
Oh,
so
wow.
you're practicing. And so there's something about just continuing to practice and practice mm-hmm. and practice
mm-hmm.
that your skill set gets, you know, it heightened. And then, of course, you know, being able to really work with different types of
right.
people. And that's one of the things in your when you go through a lot of your the postgraduate work, you do get a lot of experiences with different types of populations. And so
okay.
in actually being culturally competent as well, we get a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of training. So definitely I feel more comfortable feeling licensed and,
of course.
And feeling a little
of
bit
course.
More astute. Uh-huh.
So what would you say to the people who feel like, you know, they don't need therapy, even though they are going through several different types of, you know, detrimental type situations
mm-hmm.
and they're against therapy.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's somebody who's, you know, just feels like they need to vent or, you know,
right.
to cope,
yeah.
you know, with the pressures
mm-hmm.
of everyday life, but they don't believe in therapy. So what would you say to the person that doesn't really believe that mm-hmm. they should go to therapy?
Well, this is what I always, because they're, you know, typically that's what we call pre-contemplators. And so,
okay.
and so with a pre-contemplator, they'll say, you know, I know that something's wrong, but I just don't know how to fix it. So maybe it's being feeling stuck in a in a certain place. And so I would just say try it, and don't have high expectations for that first time, and not even the second or third time. Sometimes I'll say, you know, try it for at least 5 or 6 times and be consistent. Don't come just like once and then not come again for 5 or 6 weeks. I mean, I'm sorry. Yeah, 5 or 6 weeks. It's a lot of times, typically, the, you know, when you're first starting out, sometimes it could be weekly for a short period of time. I usually tend to try to spread the sessions out so that people will get assignments, and I call them practice home assignments. I don't call it homework, but it's things that, and there's no expectation. So if you don't do it right then, that's okay, because it's more about kind of subconsciously you programming yourself that things need to happen. And and so I would say try it. And then the other piece of it is, if it's not a good fit, I mean, sometimes you'll know and you'll feel like, you know, I'd still feel stuck, but then something is just, so you probably want to do an assessment after about 4 or 5 times and say, okay, but not to stop, but maybe try somebody else would be an alternative. But it's always good to have someone to sound off with and to get some of this out, something that you're struggling with, so that hopefully it doesn't affect you in the near future. The other piece of it is, if you're, you know, if you're planning on being a parent, or you're already a parent, the other piece is to develop these skills so that you can model them for your children. You know, a lot of times, again, when we were talking about those intergenerational reasons why people come in, you know, some things have been modeled for us. So we don't judge our parents. We definitely don't judge them. We don't pass judgment because we only do better when we know better. And so the goal is that we become better so that our children are better and our grandchildren are better. And that's the legacy that we can leave, definitely.
To combat the, what they call the generational curse.
Exactly, that generational curse.
Yes. Well, it's been, you know, very enlightening.
Thank you.
To you. And if someone wanted to reach out to you, how would they reach out to you?
Okay, so there's several ways. You know, you can definitely call me, and my number, it's 336-855-1860. The other thing is, I've got a website. It's up there, and it's Jill White Huffman. So I'm really easy to find, just Jill White Huffman. And I also have a therapeutic mindfulness. It's a Facebook group. It's a free group, and I do a lot of great, I give a lot of great information there.
And so what's the name of the group?
It's called Therapeutic Mindfulness. I did a lot of extensive study there, and so that's mainly what I teach when I'm doing counseling. So certainly reach out to me, and I'd love to hear from you.
All right, Jill White Huffman, thank you for coming in.
Thank you.